You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On April 26th, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. Only in theaters April 26th. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Happy they tried to overthrow the government. Hearings day. Are you guys like me that you still can't believe that's a thing that happened? And more shocking that it's a thing that happened is that there's now a defense of that thing that happened as if it was just some milling about?
No.
I can't believe any of that happened. If you would ask me, if I'd asked any of you 2 years ago, do you think it's possible in the United States that a bunch of people are going to be led by that fraud, liar, racist, misogynistic creep of a criminal to go ahead and try and take out the vice president in a free and fair election because he refused to turn over power? And that orange oaf would be a legitimate threat to freedom in this country. And that we're now in the middle of hearings where it's going to be defended in some way as less than what it was, less than criminal. Like, if that's not criminal, what the hell's criminal? If acting to overthrow the government is not criminal, I don't know what crime is.
Do you believe anything's going to result from these hearings? Because I doubt it.
That's so bleak, isn't it? There's so many things, because of the lack of political consequences, that feel bleak as it relates to these January 6th hearings and things in general, that because Republicans are incentivized to deny, to obfuscate, to what about, to basically ignore this thing that's happening in Congress, they're basically being rewarded for it. There is no consequence to just ignoring these trials, ignoring the findings, saying that it's overblown, saying just basically telling you that your eyes are lying. That's their only method of defense, and it works.
Roy's laughing back there. I assume it's to keep you crying.
Your eyes are lying. I didn't actually see what happened.
No, none of us did. It's not what happened. Because somebody wore a Sherpa costume, and it was a bunch of white people. It's not a riot. It's milling
dust
about.
Up.
It's not even just a dust up.
Not even a ballyhoo.
It's not a dust up?
It's a gathering near the produce section. It's just a bunch of people got together to feel some avocados.
Sherpa was vegan, turned out.
If only the Celtics had more Al Horford.
The finals happened. That's right.
Clay was the drunkest, right?
I mean, did you see him bowl people over in the street?
Well, wait a minute.
He lost his hat.
Guillermo, please put it on the poll if you do not mind. It's not all he lost, because does anything good happen at Le Batard Show when you're shouting, "Henything goes"? Because it started with "Henything goes." He lost his hat. He dropped his championship ring. He was dancing like Michael Jackson. And then he stumbled and bowled over a woman because he was clearly drunk.
this is their fourth title, and they're acting like they've never been there before, and I'm here for it because, look, they had the number one pick in the NBA draft. They didn't even make the playoffs last year. They got eliminated by the Grizzlies in the play-in, and there were a lot of doubters, myself included, because I thought that Steph in particular had something to prove in the finals, and I think his messaging and the way that he's celebrated since kind of gives further credence to that because he's like, what are you going to say now?
Well, the picture is of him holding all the hardware, all of it, and what and
Lightflex holding up the All-Star Game MVP.
But what are you going to say now? There is nothing that can be said. He wins forever.
He averaged 30 points per game against the number one defense in the league. You can say Marcus Smart wasn't healthy. I think that was pretty evident when he had an ISO at the perimeter and he switched off and he's like, Horford, you got him.
While Tatum has more turnovers in a playoff run than anyone's ever had, more than 100, and this stat stunned me. Tatum was worse on layups by percentage than Steph was from three, and Steph went 0 for 9 from three in one of those games. On layups, Jason Tatum shot a lesser percentage than what it is Steph Curry shot from three, which seems totally nuts to me, but... I don't want to go back and forth on Steph. He's an all-time great, forevermore, changed the game. No one his size has ever been that good. Just absurd.
I'm not going back and forth on Steph. He was great.
I just don't understand anyone doubting him for any reason. But, of course, people did, and he had to grab onto something. And, yes, it was defiant warriors. It's a worthy champion feeling disrespected from, hey, you didn't know how great we were back when it was 72 wins. They're getting older. Memphis wants them. And they were like, all of you. All of you. And Steph had the fuel of whatever, some people concocting an argument you have to concoct to just stir something up during a highly rated finals. But I don't think you're allowed to question anything Steph Curry anymore.
I don't think it was concocted, Dan. I think it was very real. We don't have to go back and forth on it. It seems like you don't have the appetite for it, but it's a real thing. It's not a hot take to say he wasn't ever Finals MVP.
Something to prove, Mike. It's absurd. You can't put the standard in a place where an unprecedented shooter, unlike anything you've ever seen in the sport, has something to prove.
Right. It's pretty cool that you get to see that. And I want to see great players be great on the grandest stage. And I got to see that with Steph Curry. Finally, he's been in several finals. And this is the first time with a wide gulf that you can say that dude was the best player on the planet in the most important time. And it got caught in the vortex of Steph Curry Twitter, but all I wanted to see was what he did. And because I'd never seen it before in the finals. This isn't a thing like, yeah, you have. He's had isolated games. He's had the opportunity to rip the MVP away. He's had an opportunity to rip the league away from LeBron James, and he couldn't quite do it. And it was really cool to see this story arc kind of come full circle and him be the guy, an unstoppable offensive force. It was awesome to see.
We will talk more about it, I suppose, later in the show. But staying more locally, how do you feel? The Tampa Bay Lightning, of course. Just of course. That's what they do last night. I'm assuming Mike Ryan is betting, was betting value Tampa Bay down 0-2 in the series, even though,
I bet them to lift the cup down 0-2 against the Rangers.
Will you do it again, though?
Yeah. No, I'm so invested. Like, I have a huge hedge opportunity at this point. You're gonna have to kill the Tampa Bay Lightning. They're like Ruth in Ozark. You're gonna have to bleep and kill them. And look, the Avalanche looks super fast the entire series.
7-0 in game two, which looks is not a thing fast. That I thought could happen to them.
I've been there several times just this postseason, saying Tampa Bay looks slow. How are they gonna keep up with these young Bucks? And then all of a sudden, 88 taps into his prior form. He's probably lost to Conn Smythe because he had to sit there for all seven. He wore all seven in game two. But that's the heart of the champion. And I'm so happy they won that game because I didn't want another bad series. I think we're in for the long haul. Hope you packed a lunch.
Roy, are you bothered by the goal song controversy involving Jimmy Eat World?
No, not bothered at all. I mean, it's the playoffs. I don't even care about that. Get out of here with the goal song. Like, go and win games, man. I'm tired of it. No, that's just some extra thing to complain about. Just go and win games.
for the uninitiated, the Panthers have been using The Sweetness by Jimmy Eat World as their goal celebration song to the tune of an NHL record for goals in a regular season. It's worked out for them. But Andy Slater with the Slater Scoop said that the Panthers are going to be changing their song. And became a very divisive thing on Twitter.
It's a good Slater Scoop. He's good at those.
Who cares?
Ben, where do you stand on this? Yeah. Should they change Jimmy Eat World? Jimmy Eat World's been very public on Twitter with her disappointment in the Panthers.
Time to get some press.
I'll tell you where I stand on this.
Jimmy Eat World is a band.
That Roy is so ancient and mummified at this point as a sports fan that he just barked at the microphone, just win, get out of here with noise and music and silliness and all of your hijinks, just win. You're a grandpa on a rocking chair screaming at your hockey team. I don't need any of your extracurriculars. Just give me winning hockey.
Who gives a good goddamn about
wow
goal song? The only thing I want to hear is that goal horn going off and get back to center ice and drop the puck. Let's go.
I think goal songs have played a prominent role in these playoffs, though. The Rangers song is tremendous.
Oh, and
it really elevated that environment.
Those are such great feelings, though. At a sporting event, I mean, I suppose anything happening on the field that is dramatic is going to make a crowd sway. But is there anything that feels better than a crowd jumping around singing together?
Not much in sports. And in hockey, the goal song is hugely important. I can identify a couple around the league just from watching them on TV. And the Blackhawks had a huge run with Chelsea Dagger. I love that song. I like singing it out loud when the Panthers score. I'm sad to see it go. I'm interested in what the new options are, but also we're not talking about the fact that they may not bring back their coach of the year finalist head coach.
it's looking like Trotz right now, man.
Barry Trotz is going to be an interesting fit because he shouldn't have been fired with the Islanders. But what went wrong for him in New York was that the offensive players couldn't mesh with his defensive system. Barry Trotz in his past has gotten teams over the hump and won the Stanley Cup. And this isn't a very offensive-minded team. And it's kind of replicating potentially what went wrong in New York for him. But this team needs some edge. This team needs an adult in the room. This team needs someone that's been there before, had it with Coach Q, and we all know how that worked out this season.
Trotz would be an upgrade, though. I mean, he would.
Easily.
An absolute upgrade. The horn is enough, by the way. The horn, like the goal horn in hockey, that's enough. I don't need a song. Just give me a horn. That's it. I mean,
but every arena has taken it a step further. The Colorado Avalanche have a great song after they score goals. It's the song from the darts. That's tremendous. The Rangers have been great. And of course, the Toronto Maple Leafs with You Make My Dreams Come True by Hall & Oates. Great goal song.
Blues had Gloria for 1 year and then they retired it after they won the cup. 1 year.
They retired it after Brett Hull retired it.
Didn't you get moved, Mike, this weekend by what I would deem one of the single most Caucasian sports celebrations in history when Neil Diamond went to sing Caroline with Red Sox fans?
Wait, Caroline? Dan, you can't just call it Caroline.
Sweet Caroline. So fine.
Yeah, she's not sour.
Yep. Five.
First, here's Brett Hull singing Glory at the Blues Victory Parade.
They are the champions. Glory, Gloria, 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 I think I got your number, Gloria.
Nailed it.
Weren't you moved by Neil Diamond?
Yeah, for those that don't know, Neil Diamond had to retire from touring because I believe he has Alzheimer's. I have to check that out. But due to illness, he had to retire abruptly. He was a touring musician, even in his old age. I saw him fairly recently, and it was one of the best concerts I've ever been to. And he stayed out of the public eye. He put out a video thanking first responders in his local neighborhood. But since then, nothing. And for him to show up, Parkinson's, I'm sorry. Neil Diamond is suffering from Parkinson's. For him to show up at Fenway Park, Sweet Caroline is so ingrained in the fabric of Red Sox fandom. They always play it during their games. For him to make a public appearance with some help and support and some backing vocals was truly heartwarming. I loved seeing that. I'm such a Neil Diamond fan, and it's good that he's still well enough to actually go out.
Totally different song, though, if it's just Caroline.
It is. You're right. Billy, what happened with Jazz Chisholm here on Twitter where he writes that something was terrible because the umpiring, he wasn't happy with
that. Well, he got ejected from a game on a ball.
It was a terrible call. And somebody on Twitter wrote to him, are you talking about your stats versus left-handed pitchers or that strike call? And Jazz's response was, I'm talking about your mama.
It was me, Dan. It was me all along.
What is that?
That was my Vince McMahon impression.
Weird.
Oh, that's a good time to impersonate Vince McMahon.
Yeah, very good time.
There's a good market for that right now.
Yeah.
Keep it going.
Shut up!
Earlier this year, he also, someone said to drill him, and he said, drill your mama. And then they made that a shirt that they've been wearing. Which would be a lot better if they were winning more games.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it seemed as though like all the interviews from the ensuing players-only meeting, a lot of the attitude showing up on time, how people dress around there, it wasn't hard to deduce that a lot of people have a problem with Jazz.
Heyman's reporting, and Billy, I don't know if there have been any more details reported by Mish or anyone else, but what was it that Heyman was saying? It was swagger and style. It was something. It was two loaded words.
Yeah. He implied that everyone hates Jazz. And then the Marlins made Jazz's face their Twitter profile picture. And then the reports were that the captain of the team was peanut butter and jelly of Jazz. And he didn't like that. And then he went and started blocking a bunch of reporters on Twitter.
How's this going to play out, Billy? Is this like you've got a charismatic personality. You've got a guy who's fun and he's great and he's interesting and... They don't like those things in baseball. Those things tend to get snuffed out if you're a black guy who's got some swag in that sport.
I mean, they seem to think that there's a right way to do things, but like they lost like almost 100 games last year, so I would say that wasn't the right way to do things. They're figuring it out. I mean, we'll see. They're not going to catch up with the Mets. No one is. The Mets are really good, apparently.
Well, they beat you up this weekend. Did Stugatz trash talk you?
I didn't hear from Stugatz this weekend.
No, I didn't trash talk him. Listen, I let my teams play do the talking for me.
That's
and
right.
The Mets are one of the best teams in Major League Baseball. It's exciting when you have the Mets and Yankees both this good at the exact same time.
Well, okay.
Very exciting.
Is it that you're not doing the trash talking because you're like this classy winner that you're portraying or because you know they're going to blow this at some point in the season?
I know they're going to blow it. I mean, it's coming. At some point this season... This team will blow it because that's what the Mets do. I mean, the Marlins are the Marlins. The Mets love to get you excited about a season and then blow that season right up in your face.
This has them kind of running through the regular season, dominating everyone, and then winning one game in the playoffs all over it.
You have them making it to the postseason, though.
Oh, they'll make it to the postseason, but that's when I think it unwinds. Yeah, Chris is right. They may clinch the postseason next week.
Watch out for the Braves. I mean,
it's crazy how good the Mets have been so far.
It's crazy how good the Braves have been the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks.
I think they won 17 out of like 19 recently.
They won 14 in a row, and Philadelphia...
I'm betting baseball again.
Don't sleep on the Bravos. I mean...
But the Mets are really good, and the Yankees are totally overwhelming.
Oh, my God.
It's unbelievable. I saw that Mike Shore, who tracks this stuff and is haunted by the Yankees because they're always good, they're never bad in his lifetime, says that the pitching staff has a whip that is better than Mariano Rivera's whip a year that he had 53 saves.
Like the entire staff?
The entire staff is basically pitching better than Mariano Rivera at his most dominant.
I think Gerrit Cole might be the Yankees' worst pitcher at this point?
No.
He was great last night.
And the time before that, he's up there, and it doesn't seem like anybody can get a hit off of him, but he's another one that when he gets to the postseason, like they've... God almighty. He has hurt them, but he looks overwhelming again. You don't think there's going to be any problem with Jazz, though, Billy? Like, this seems combustible. This seems... Jazz is a modern generation player. He is a young person. He is... He's not going to be broken by this, I don't think, the way Tim Anderson has been. I think he's going to buck up against it. And
what's going to happen? They're going to miss the playoffs?
Oh, no, I'm not talking about results for your team. I'm just talking in general about, like, you've got a legitimately juicy situation in your clubhouse where your best player is also somehow polarizing because he knows he's the best.
I mean, well, it seems like some people are bothered by him, and then other people like Garrett Cooper are like, oh, this isn't much to do about nothing.
If you're a Marlins teammate, you definitely want to align yourself with Jazz Chisholm rather than the, you know, starchy old guard that's not exactly going to be around for a while and is not helping the team win. Like, Jazz Chisholm is where the organization probably wants to align itself. By the way, Dan, you were looking for the explosive words from John Heyman. They were style and sizzle. They don't like Jazz Chisholm's style.
So they were not talking about Cooper.
He wasn't talking about John Birdie.
Is Mike Scherer a crybaby as far as like baseball comes with the Yankees and the Red Sox?
Yes, very much so. Yes.
I'm surprised that after all the winning that the Red Sox have done and that Boston sports have done, that there's still that angsty
whimpering
knob. They
so
won in
weird.
2004,
yes, it is.
Somewhere inside of there, that the Yankees are still rent-free in Mike Scherer's head. Like, if I had won 4 championships, no one's rent-free in my head after that. I'm the Red Sox, and I think they're having a bad season this year. I don't know anything about baseball, but I can tell you that, like, I'm surprised that Mike Scherer still, like, is complaining about how small Yankee Stadium is and is every day going, Matt Carpenter, and Scherer is shitty, hit home run the next day.
But then people are sending him, because I saw on Twitter, too, people are sending him, like, hey, by the way, Boston is the second best hitter's ballpark in Major League Baseball, well ahead of the Yankees.
He's haunted. It doesn't matter that they came back from 3-0 and were the first team to do that against the Yankees. None of it matters. He's totally haunted by that baseball team.
But the Red Sox are going to end up making the playoffs. They'll be a wild card and they'll get in.
Wait, Matt Carpenter's a Yankee?
Yeah, free agent pickup. Really? I'm gambling again! Hey, Juan Encarnacion's son hit a grand slam in his debut.
His
not
son?
Jeremy Hermida.
That's his son?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say that Juan Encarnacion is still playing.
Oh no, I think he lost his eye, and I think it, like... Well, I don't know if he.
You think he lost his eye?
He had like something bad.
Yeah, something very bad happened.
And then like worse things happened to him.
You said,
"Boy, I really hope that's Juan Encarnacion's son now."
Yeah, it is. It is.
Woo!
Wow.
Is it?
Oh God, I'm vulnerable.
When I saw the lineup, just Encarnacion, I thought it was Edwin still playing in the major leagues.
You mentioned that. I don't know if you. I discovered this morning that Mercedes Lewis is about to break the record for most seasons by a tight end over Jason Witten and Tony Gonzalez.
I think it's Mercedes Lewis. Yeah.
I think it's Mercedes.
No, no, it's with an A.
Is it Mar?
Yeah.
Really?
I've always
you've
called
either
him,
made him a luxury sedan.
I've always called him Mercedes.
Or my same housekeeper here, Dad. From 1998.
Yeah.
But 17 years in the league, and all, as it said that he was eager to break the record, all you saw in the comment section was, I thought you retired 5 years ago. It was just insult after insult of, I don't remember a single play. Why would you do that to Mercedes Lewis?
I remember like the 6 yard.
It
out.
Is Mercedes.
It's Mercedes. It's not Mercedes.
I'm not certain. I mean,
not Mercedes.
I've been operating the last decade of my life that it's Mercedes. It's, no, it, all bets are off. It could be anything
but
at this
not
point.
Mercedes.
It might be Mercedes. Look it up.
No, okay, we did
is he the
look it
Greek
up.
God of 6 yard outs.
Mercedes.
You made him Greek. I made him a luxury car, and you made him Greek. Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Levitard show, Mercedes Lewis or Mercedes Lewis, because I believe a lot of people. Well, I don't know how you pronounce that.
I don't know how.
Wait a minute. Is that
you
a
threw
five,
me off. I thought it was Mercedes.
Five,
how about you?
For reading the internet wrong.
I mean, you called him Mercedes.
I've been calling him Mercedes my entire life. He's been playing for 17 years and I've been calling him that.
Yeah. But you've been wrong.
It's a reasonable mistake to make. His name is spelled like a Mercedes-Benz, so why wouldn't you call him Mercedes? But it is indeed Mercedes Lewis.
It's not Mercadius, though.
It's not Mercadius.
but it's not Mercedes. I mean, that's $5 times the amount of times you said it over 17 years.
Because if it's spelled that way, I think I'm allowed the mispronunciation.
It's spelled with an A. I mean, which is news to me, by the way. I mean, I was with you. Why did I pay $5? I need that back.
Yes. It's a far more flagrant error.
You called Marcades. Marcades.
I know. Did you say Gerrit Cole was the worst pitcher on the Yankees?
Mike said that. He's not right about that.
Okay, because he's 6-1 with like a, I don't know, a 3.48 ERA, something like that.
Well, I was being like hot takey in that, like, I know he's good, but the rotation is so good, Gerrit Cole might be the worst in the rotation, which may pan out, unlike my Juan Encarnacion take.
Oh, no.
Is that a fine for you?
Yeah, I guess so.
Or is that a fine for me as well?
Well, you backed me up, and I didn't like my allies, like, immediately. Yeah. I'm like, shit.
But I had the same reaction when I saw him. I thought, there's another major leaguer who I saw his father play, and it made me think that you should get that sound of Greg Cody trying to pronounce Encarnacion at that minor league game, because Greg Cody also doing a good job of mispronunciations around here every week. Did you guys see what Stephen Ross said in the Department of Things You Don't Want Your Laughingstock Billionaire to Be Staying?
I didn't see it, no.
He said that a recession wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, because then a lot of people who have been working from home would have so much fear about getting laid off that they would go back into work, and then commercial real estate would do well.
So it would help him.
It's just a weird thing. It's a weird thing to say. As, the economic disparity in this country has gotten so flagrant and crazy. Stugatz, I can't believe I'm reading this weekend about how rent has gone up all over Miami, where it's gone. It's like crazy. A lot of people who were paying $3,500 a month are now paying $7,000 a month. And over the last 2 years, rent has gone up 58%. And I couldn't believe. Do you know how much of Miami is renters? Do you know what percentage of Miami is renters?
12%.
68%.
What?
68%.
Wow.
Renters in Miami. And Stephen Ross, who has made a lot of money off of this region, as gas prices go through the roof and inflation is terrifying, you've got the billionaire owner of the Dolphins, who just dumped an F1 race in the neighborhood, telling people how a recession will benefit commercial real estate.
Right. We had a pandemic that was economically crippling for people, and billionaires made a shed load of money off of it. And now billionaires going, I can afford a recession. It might be good for me in the long run.
I've heard this is happening a lot in San Francisco and Austin. I think you guys have seen it out here. The amount of homeless people out here is growing. Like, there are more people out here just sleeping on the grass out there, that on right out there on the beach.
Yeah, it's happening a lot here on the beach, but the usual congested areas where you'd find the unhoused, they've kind of been pushed out because of development. By the courthouse, there's that brand new Grand Central station that has pushed out the unhoused. Downtown, which used to be a hub for that sort of stuff, there's more and more development, and this construction is pushing them away into different places. And now it's happening to the beach, where we all know, as listening to Because Miami, they're kind of just letting it die out here so they can just redevelop it.
What a dirty hustle to just be in the middle of and see happening so overtly, when it has been forewarned that the idea is to actively blight the area so that we can continue to develop down here. As you have six natural disaster, weather weekend, again, another six epic events this weekend all over the world, that where people are dying all over the place. And we continue building without putting a giant wall out there in the sea somewhere that protects us. And all these people, all these places that we're building. I don't know if you've seen, there's a garage here filled with luxury cars. All of them were underwater. Like all of the cars, 300. I just imagined a whole bunch of Bitcoin people. That wasn't even a storm. That wasn't a hurricane. That was rain.
I don't mean to play armchair quarterback with this, but if you're putting your luxury vehicle in an underground garage in Miami, don't do that. Yeah. You shouldn't be doing that. It's a really
park
bad
on the
idea.
Seventh floor.
You deserve what you
if
get.
A garage is really high now in these developments. Don't do it underground. Ooh. No underground garages from here on out, guys.
You should see what happens in the Sunset Harbor neighborhood whenever a storm is coming, how the public garages fill with all of those cars, like all of the $500,000 cars. But I'm still stunned that something that I was told was going to be 50 years from now, like we're living in the middle of our garages filling with water and luxury cars just floating away.
Yeah, there was that a tweet that went viral over the weekend where there was a French meteorologist 4 years ago that did a forecast for 50 years from now just to grab the locals' attention to do something. And the French forecast this weekend was the exact same forecast that she presented for a 50-year projection. I was at Disney World. Don't go to Disney World in June. That's another armchair quarterback thing that you can come at me with.
Dangerous game,
it's a
man.
Very dangerous game.
Armpit quarterback. Yeah. It's
the worst, yes.
What you're dealing with there is very unpleasant. Like swampy South Florida, middle of Florida tourists. Like everybody's a little bloated, wandering around so that Billy can have a $29 cotton candy.
But Mike, you're a cagey vet. I'm surprised you did that.
How much gold bond did you use? How much gold bond?
Dude, I've kind of gotten scared away because I don't know if you've seen these class action lawsuit PSA commercials about talcum powder. I've just been scared away from.
You got to roll the dice.
I just put it on my shoes now, but if there was ever a time to bust it out, it was certainly Walt Disney World in June. Don't do that, guys. It's certainly getting hotter out there.
Billy, you're headed toward. Hey. Roy, I don't know how Claire feels about Disney, but are you aware that if your child dreams of Disney, what your future holds for you is apocalyptic heat burning down your skull as you try to fulfill your child's dreams?
Well, considering that Claire now knows how to open up Disney Plus, that's my future. Constantly going to Walt Disney World now.
Yeah. Just go in November.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the key, is just always go during the winter months.
November to like... late March.
Very busy,
early
though.
April.
I mean.
Well, no, you go. I'm not going to tell people when to go because then it's going to get busy. I know when to go.
All right.
You guys are cute. I can't hold off on Disney World. It's my big morality bargaining chip. Be good. We go to Disney World.
I lost my free Disney passes, so we're not going to Disney World anymore.
That was another thing. I went to Disney like one time.
Chris.
I went to Disney one time when I was a Disney employee. Now, I'm there like every month because Juliet wants to go there so bad. I really hope that she doesn't catch on to the fact that the bargaining chip is just totally meaningless because I'm not going to cancel this trip. I've already paid a lot of money for it. But now I understand why dads were like, I'm turning this thing around because it does kind of work. At least it tricks my 2.5-year-old, but not for much
longer. What are the highlights or what was the worst of it, I should say, going through swampy, swamp-ass Disney?
The heat.
Yeah, the heat was oppressive. The temperature said it felt like 110 out there. It was bad. It's definitely getting hotter. I've never experienced anything like that in my life. It was also 83 degrees in Las Vegas over the weekend. Kooky. It felt at 40 degrees cooler in Las Vegas than it did in Disney World this
weekend. Again, snow in Mexico City. I mean, there are alarming, it's 500 year, once in 500 year droughts, once in 1,000 year flooding.
Yeah, it's only going to get worse from here, right? That's what they're saying.
Well, we're not doing anything about it.
What are we going to do about
it? We're talking about it.
It seems like it's too late.
No, it does seem like it's too late, but
you got to just raise awareness.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's an important conversation.
Are you guys not just generally concerned, though? It seems to me just confusing that the idea that the end of the livable atmosphere and that we're in the middle of attacks on democracy and each other and the earth, this story can't be the underreported one. Like this, it seems to me that if there were epic worldwide events that were weather, climate specific, that were killing people, that it would not be an underreported story.
Should lead the news? I mean, What aliens didn't lead the news. I mean, they didn't. Like, yeah. They've been waiting around for aliens forever. They finally came, and there was a pandemic going on.
Hell of a points, you guys.
Thank you.
Hell of a point. Nice. Our government tells us aliens are real. Nothing. Nothing. I don't know what we're supposed to do about this at this point. They pick up my recycling once every 2 weeks. It doesn't seem like it's enough. There's always some overflow. And toothpaste is out of the tube now. So where are the seawalls? Where's the mission to Mars? Come on. We need solutions here.
I don't have solutions beyond telling people that we should all be yelling from mountaintops for our leaders to do whatever it is that science can do.
We will when the rising tides force us to the mountaintops.
My point is that they're
here. There's a lot going on right now.
They're here. My point is not, and I don't mean the aliens, though them too.
You think the aliens are coming here and they're like, oh, geez, this is way too hot.
why? Let's go home.
It's like, why are there luxury vehicles
underwater?
I'll
turn this thing around.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. Springtime is all about fresh air, fresh starts, and freshly cleaned homes, and it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security, the only home security system I use and recommend. I've had it in my home for many, many years. I love it. Springtime to me, we love to travel, and I love the fact that no matter where I am in the world, I can keep an eye on my home thanks to Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe blankets your whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more, plus a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over your property day and night. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. Get 20% off your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. That's simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Don Le Batard.
Few things feel better than when you're on a roller coaster with no underwear.
Noted.
Try it.
A very weird observation by Stugatz.
You should try it. Don't knock it until you try it, Dano.
Stugatz!
You know what, Stugatz? I reconsider my position. I have not tried it, and so I won't knock it. Please explain to us in as much elaboration as you can why it's so wonderful to ride on a roller coaster with no underwear.
Well, you just get that incredible breeze that you can only get when you're high up on a roller coaster and it's about to go down. And when it goes down, oh, does it feel good? It's like air conditioning inside your shorts. It's amazing. Right? It really is.
This is the Don Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Represented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Koepka.
Yeah.
Joining Liv.
Really? Not a surprise.
After blasting a reporter.
I'm like coming around on Liv. Not that I still don't find it gross, but it's just when Phil Mickelson is out there getting drilled by the press in ways that our own president isn't about, like, what are we doing? Like, what do you have to say to the families of 9/11? Like, we're asking a golfer this? Like, come on. I know he's, credit to him for actually facing it, because a lot of the golfers there didn't face it, but this is getting so ridiculous with the projections and the moralities that you got to keep your eye on the ball. Everybody's doing business with Saudi Arabia. You're going to be angry at Phil Mickelson for doing it? I understand being angry at Phil Mickelson doing that stuff, but like, increase your scope then. Don't just take it out on Phil Mickelson. I actually felt bad for Phil Mickelson.
Mickelson's actually the one guy. Put the money aside where the money's coming from. I know that's hard and difficult for a lot of people, but when you consider where Phil Mickelson is in his career and in life, it actually makes sense for Phil Mickelson. Phil Mickelson will never earn $300 million in the PGA Tour. He needs money. He's 52 years old. Okay. Someone was still out there willing to give him $300 million, and he took it. I mean,
it's a great
job. And he has all the exemptions, Mike. He does. He can play in the Masters.
Good job with spin. I think it's a bridge too far to say that Phil needs the money. I don't think he needs the money. I know he's gotten the messaging out there with the gambling, which was actually really good PR advice, because he's put out like quite the scope of the paradigm of public relations handling of this one thing. He totally botched it at the start. He became the face of it to the point that he almost couldn't join. He couldn't be the first name. He had to let a bunch of people go in, and then he kind of went in through the back door. And credit to him, he's the only one facing it now, but he went out there with a messaging about finally revealing the long-rumored gambling debt that he had and the family problems that ensued because of it. So it was actually a pretty good job of public relations after mishandling it so badly.
Except for the part that Stugatz is bringing up is he could have done this quietly, and instead he became the face of it because he sort of shrugged and said, well, oh, it happens, the bone sawing of a journalist. You know, like that. And so when you say that, the quiet part out loud, when you say, oh, you know that it's blood money. Okay, you know when it's blood money, and you're going to try. You know it's sports washing, and you're going to try and convince me. Yeah, people make mistakes. I'm surprised Greg Norman hasn't gotten more than he's gotten. But Mickelson is also more polarizing and is sort of the face of swaggering, whether it's gambling habit or anything else. He's sort of the face of country club. I don't even have to stay in shape my entire career. I can be great at this sport and make tons of money.
Lefty's also American, which is a little different. If you're born and raised American, you also have the 9/11 thing hanging over. But I'm telling you, if you're just going to start projecting on these golfers taking this guaranteed money, you're going to want to take inventory of what you're doing in your life. There's a lot of Saudi investors out there. A lot of Saudi investors out there. I was getting preachy, and then I was alerted to what happened with Carnival Cruise Line.
During the pandemic. Yes, Carnival Cruise Line sold, what was it, 10% or 20% to the Saudis?
Give them a lifeline.
Mike, I'm just saying, when you consider the fact that when you win these majors, and we talked about this a bit a couple of weeks ago, when you win these majors, the Masters, you get a lifetime exemption. U.S. Open, you get a 10-year exemption there, and I think five to every other major. And those are the only tournaments they care about. Phil has all the exemptions. He'll still be able to play in the tournaments he wants to play in, which are the majors, and someone was still willing to give him $300 million guaranteed. Like, he kind of nailed it from that perspective.
Can the PGA exude power over these majors and force these live guys out of the competition? It's a big... But... I'm out here. I'm going to side. I'm wearing a PGA hat. It's just by happenstance. I'm going to side with the PGA, too. Did you see the PGA's comments about answering to 9/11 families? It's fine when the PGA is a tourist stop in Saudi Arabia. I guess that's okay. I guess we can take Saudi money then. There's so many people showing their ass on this thing. It's just, I'm going to shut up about it because there's so many possible places where we can be hypocritical.
You mentioned... Let's not be hypocritical there. Let's be hypocritical elsewhere, because you mentioned that we're asking Mickelson harder questions than we're asking Biden. And Biden does need to be asked questions about, why are you riding a bike?
Oh, at the start of his administration, it was a sign of vitality. Remember after he got elected and that in-between period, he did a photo op on a bike and he looked vibrant, youthful, young.
Stop trying to show us that you can ride
nice bike ride,
a bicycle. You're not proving anything with the riding of a bicycle. And I've never seen someone fall off a bicycle that way. And that seems like a national security problem. When he's, I've never seen someone at that age, you fall down and bad things happen. Like, he needs to not be on a bicycle. Things are bad enough right now. We don't need that too.
Well, did you see the Atlantic article? They called it an act of heroism because it displayed that when we fall down, what do? Yep. We get back up.
Seven people run over to us and help us up.
How does that video get out? Honestly, like, Jordan Crawford embarrassed LeBron James one time, and there was like raw footage. It was like the Zapruder film. It was erased. You can't have this president that I think we can all admit is kind of going through it right now. It's not exactly great out here. And you can't be falling on your bike right now, man. You can't be getting your foot trapped in the strap right now.
They did him dirty.
I'm asking you.
Get the Nike guys.
I'm demanding, Billy, how could it have been funnier? The fall, how is it like Tua? The fall?
No reason to put it out there. Do a better job, social media team. Tua under throwing to re-kill. That's exactly how it's like Tua. Yeah.
We got there.
How have you guys
missed those shoelaces that were like really squiggly and you just kind of pull them and then they just kind of hold in place? You know what I mean? They were like spirals. Those, you know what I'm talking about, Dan? No?
Oh, okay, never mind.
What's a funnier way that Biden could have fallen there?
If he fell into slime or a pool or chocolate pudding.
If he fell at full speed and fed full pelt.
That wouldn't
on the bike
be funny.
Ride.
No, that would be less funny. Full speed? No. Him sliding down the asphalt? That wouldn't have been funny.
It's pretty funny. I mean,
the way that he fell, where it just sort of like bit by bit, slowly stumbled.
In
it was like he
stages.
Pulls up to a stop.
His face into dog poop.
He's got this smile on him like, yeah, I pulled up. I did it. I'm done now.
If he would have chipped a tooth and come up smiling with part of a tooth missing, it would have been funnier.
The applause that he arrived to, too. It's like when an NBA head coach tells like an unfunny joke and is just met with like
he's got that
overlapping
smirk.
From
he's just
Tim
got
Reynolds.
That smirk and then...
It was celebrated. Hey, Grandpa rode in. But Grandpa docked successfully.
Hey, he didn't break his hip.
You can hear it trail off as he timbers. That's funny.
If he fell, it's how I would imagine a building falling over from the top.
It's a tricky game, though, on a bike when you're going through traffic like that. It's narrow. Someone makes you stop. Like, I could see myself falling. I could see you falling. I could see all of us falling in that spot. Like, once you start, you can't stop
okay,
on a bike.
You
it's
can
hard.
See it, but yeah. I have not seen it. I have not seen many old people ever fall that way off a bicycle.
Because they don't ride bikes, usually.
Please. They need to not be they need to not be riding bikes. He needs to not have that happen again because he's showing us how much vitality he has while he's riding a bicycle. Very
That's
well.
Why tricycles are great, by the way. Very hard to fall off a tricycle. You know what I mean? Yeah. And you get one, a big one with two big wheels on the back, a big
More
wheel
stable.
On the front. Yeah, maybe a basket
you know
underneath.
What? You're
put
so
in your
right
picnic
about this.
Basket. Yeah.
I'd be totally okay with him riding with training wheels. Wouldn't you?
I think Trump said, I think he made a promise to a crowd. He's like, you never have to worry about me riding a bike. It's a weird cell phone. Oh. I know.
He can't even get on a bike. He's
like, classic.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. Springtime is all about fresh air, fresh starts, and freshly cleaned homes. And it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security, the only home security system I use and recommend. I've had it in my home for many, many years. I love it. Springtime to me, we love to travel. And I love the fact that no matter where I am in the world, I can keep an eye on my home thanks to Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe blankets your whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more, plus a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over your property day and night. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. Get 20% off your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. That's simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.